In this week's episode, Kate Perry is joined by Ashley Smokler. They discuss the importance of sending your tax return information to your accountant in good time and the benefits of doing so. They also remind you of some of the items to include.
Accountancy on Prescription by RBP, one of the leading firms of medical specialist accountants. We know what you find tough, but don't you worry, as we know our stuff.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Accountancy on Prescription. Today, I'm joined by Ashley Smokler, one of our tax managers. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, Kate. How are you doing?
Yeah, not bad, thanks. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the importance of sending your tax information into your accountant in good time. So congratulations to all those who have actually done that. And we have prepared, gosh, Ashley, perhaps you can let me know sort of how many tax returns you've prepared and sent out, got back from the client and sent to HMRC already.
Well, on my particular portfolio, where I'm looking at the best part of 400 clients, only 120 odd have gone to the revenue already. So we're quite a way through the year already. And I wouldn't say I was particularly on target, but everything does get done eventually. However, the importance cannot be stressed enough. The quicker we get the information from clients, the quicker the returns can be prepared, the more time the clients have to be prepared for the tax liabilities that are coming up, and the longer we have to work through any scenarios, such as being able to reduce payments on account or backdate certain tax reliefs that you would get in the current year, but you can send back to the previous year.
Yes. I mean, we'll be going on to talk about that later. So there's only 4 months left of the year. So we've basically got, well, actually, you and your team have got a third of the year left to complete a year's worth of work, essentially. And you've got two-thirds of the work to do in a third of the year. So from our perspective, obviously, yes, we always will appreciate it if you can send your tax return information in as early as possible, as will anyone who's not a client of ours and has their own other accountant. We will always ask for your information in as soon as possible. So I suppose what we need to mention is what information you need to send in. So all our clients, at least, and probably those with other accountants, would have received some sort of email, probably in April of this year, requesting this information. And generally, this information is derived from information from the previous year's tax return. So it's just to remind you of everything that we put on last year's tax return for you. So that will include any bank interest details, if you have rental income, gift aid, pension contributions. So it serves as a reminder. So if you're not sure what to send us in, try and get back to that email that we sent you or your accountant sent you, because there will be a reminder there of all the information that we require. So one of the things we need is for our GP partners, and if you're a locum or a consultant with a private practice, is your expenses. So Ashley, do you want to just give us a brief overview of the sort of things you would expect to receive in respect of expenses?
The expenses, there's generally a spreadsheet that we send out to clients on an annual basis. That's going to include the likes of motor expenses, so all the costs of anything to do with your motor that you might incur during the year. And then we have an agreement between the client and the partner here as to what represents a business proportion of those expenses. So you wouldn't obviously claim 100% of your petrol costs, but you would claim what you consider to be a business expense, a business proportion as opposed to private. There would be other items on that spreadsheet that you would need to advise us of, which would include things such as professional subscriptions to bodies such as the MDU, the BMA, etc., etc., postage and stationery, anything that is laid out by you personally, and that's the important thing, it's not paid for by a practice or by a GP surgery or whatever it might be. So anything that's laid out by you personally that is wholly spent in the purpose of your duties as that employment.
Yes. Yeah, so what I would class as sort of out-of-pocket expenses. Mm-hmm. And what I would like to just sort of emphasise, I'm very much a person who thinks if you look after the pennies, the pounds look after themselves. So I know there's a lot of our clients who sometimes don't claim very much, but it all adds up and it all does reduce your tax. So if you are buying something that is for use, or you've bought it because you are a doctor and you need it, you're buying it because you're going to use it for the purposes of your work, then please put it down. So things that people might forget, broadband use, an element of that you can claim. Buying a laptop, we don't claim that quite as an expense. We claim it as a capital allowance, but it's essentially the same thing. Buying a new phone, iPad even, if you use those at all. And then, of course, we've got a use of home allowance. So we tend to claim a fixed amount a week on that just to keep things easy rather than asking you to go and look at all your expenses for the year. So if you have a business, so if you're in partnership, those expenses will come out as personal professional expenses. If you're a locum or have private practice, they will come out on your income and expenditure accounts. And then, of course, if you have a salary, we would be asking for a copy of your P60. The other time you might give us a P60 is if you're in receipt of a pension, because you also get a P60 for that, because both these items have tax taken at source and we need to be putting what tax you've already paid on those amounts on your tax return. So what sort of things should clients be thinking about for rental income?
Similar to most things, to be fair, with rental income, this is where you are receiving income from renting out a second or third or fourth property that you may own, either on your own or with someone else. Expenses would be, again, anything that is wholly spent in the performance of having that as a business, in inverted commas. So you'd be able to claim any expenses that are incurred. The only exception really to that is where it is a normal rental property as opposed to a holiday let. You're not able to claim any of the loan interest that you pay on your mortgage. You do get basic rate tax relief, but you don't get higher rate tax relief anymore. It was phased out over a number of years. And now what happens is you get taxed on the full amount. And if that takes you into higher rates, then so be it. You then claim back 20% tax relief on the loan interest relief. The difference between that and a furnished holiday let, although the regime is changing very shortly, is that you're able to claim the full amount of loan interest relief as a business expense, because a furnished holiday let is treated as a trade.
Okay. And the other things that I think people also perhaps forget to put on their tax return, and again, if you're a higher rate taxpayer, it has some benefit, and that's gift aid. So some people might think of gift aid as gift aid donations. So perhaps if you've sponsored somebody through Just Giving, and I think there's another site that people use these days. So don't forget those gifts. And also, of course, memberships, what we might think of subscriptions. So things such as the National Trust or the RSPB, I'm only mentioning those because those are the ones I subscribe to, or the English Heritage, or any sort of membership type ones where when they send you the documentation, you can tick a box to say that you will gift aid it. And what's the other special thing? And you did touch on it earlier about gift aid, Ashley, that may be useful for some of our clients.
It would certainly be useful at this time of year. So where you are considering making a donation via gift aid, the facility exists that you can backdate or transfer back the tax relief for a year. So if you were to make a large donation at this time of year, you wouldn't see your tax relief until your 24/5 tax return is submitted to the revenue, and therefore your tax liability in January 26 is calculated. But you could put on your tax return for 23-4 a note to say that there was an amount paid in 24-5. You've asked for it to be carried back, and therefore you get your tax relief straight away, or in January 25 instead of January 26. So backdating of gift aid works certainly if you know that you're a higher rate taxpayer in the earlier year, maybe only borderline in the current tax year, it would be worthwhile transferring back a year.
And the other thing is, if people are close or discover that they're right on the cusp of the 100,000. So I know that this year it's been a bit of a problem, certainly for our hospital consultants who want to claim the childcare money. So that can be something that if you literally just tipped over, and of course, as soon as you tip over by a mere pound, you lose that ability to claim that relief. You can do a gift aid for £100 or something to your favourite charity, carry that back, and that might tip you just under so that you can continue to claim.
Indeed. And also similarly, with the same kind of thing in mind, where your income is in the region of £125,000, once you tip over £125,140, you start paying tax at 45%. So adding a gift aid reclaim in an earlier year could give you 45% tax relief where you possibly only got 40% in the current year. So again, it all depends on where your income sits in the general scheme of things.
That's right. And of course, you won't know that until you've had your tax return drafted. So that's what we're trying to get people to do. And of course, that higher rate coming in at the 125,000 is new for this year. Remember, it didn't used to kick in until 150. So all those who are in that region do need to understand that there's going to be an extra 5% on anything over and above that figure, whereas before they might have thought that they were not going to get caught until their income went over the 150. So that's something also to be aware of. And finally, we just wanted to mention overseas income. So I think some of our clients have sort of got a bit caught on this because it was on a remittance only basis, but that was actually going back, gosh, over 10 years, I think now, Ashley. But some of our older clients perhaps have not realised that things changed more recently. And I can't remember which year, but 2015, at least, I think. And so anyone with overseas income, even if they're not sending the money to the UK, that also must be disclosed. So I don't know whether you can give some examples perhaps of what that might be.
Well, I've seen clients who have rental properties overseas or bonds or bank accounts that roll up the interest until they pay it at the end of a five-year term, for instance. Ordinarily, you would think to yourself, well, when I get the money at the end of the 5 years, I'll pay the tax on it. But actually, where it is obvious how the split of interest over the 5 years can be calculated, where you have a definitive figure, that needs to be declared on the tax return in the year of receipt, even if you don't actually receive it physically in your hands.
Right. So for those of our clients who've got any interest overseas, that's one to remember. And we ought to remind you that actually HMRC do receive bank details from overseas banks. And so they do get this information through a third-party source. So it's not something that you can avoid, unfortunately. So make sure all that's declared. I think we've probably covered, is there anything else, Ashley, that from doing everyone's tax returns so far that you feel people are forgetting or missing out? Or everything to be given to us as soon as possible? Because, of course, the last thing we want is everyone to give us everything in the month of January, because then we end up sort of chasing our tails. And you lot have to come in at the weekends and work late and everything to try and get, because we always do our best to get everyone's tax returns in and done by the deadline.
That's certainly the crux of the matter. I think that the sooner we get the information, the sooner we can get the tax return to a client, they're happier. They know earlier what tax liabilities they've got. It helps them if they've not funded enough, they're not ready for the payment in January, and at the moment, doing a return in September, October time gives them 3 months to arrange for monies. It's also possibly the case that they wouldn't be able to send the whole amount of tax on one day because the banks don't allow it. That would also need a bit of planning on the client's part. So all these things, very important. But the most important thing is the sooner you get the information to us, the sooner we can finish off. One thing I would say from an earlier comment that you made about completing the tax return information request schedules that we send out, those were published in April to the portal. We wrote to clients via email saying the document is on the portal, please complete it. Those documents are auto-retracted after 3 months. So if you go looking for it now, you won't find it. So if that's the case and you don't have a list of everything that was on your 22-3 tax return, if you could contact your tax manager here at RBP, we will republish the document for you and it saves you the hassle of trying to remember what was on your previous year's return.
Thank you, Ashley. That was well remembered. I'd completely forgotten that we do have an auto retraction. So if that wasn't down, so we always say if we do send you things on the portal, and this will probably go for other accountants as well, there is an auto retraction. So if we do ever send you anything via the portal, we do recommend that you immediately download it onto your computer so that you have your copy always there. But if you don't do that, we can always, as Ashley's just said, we can always resend the document. That's not a problem at all. So good luck to all of you out there in gathering all your information for your tax return for this year. And I hope you're currently regularly saving for your tax, because that's always very important. You don't want a big shock to be scrabbling around for money in January. But if you are, you can always talk to us so we can see if we can assist you in any way. And it may be, of course, that you can reduce payments on account. So I think that's it for today. Thank you, Ashley. And
pleasure.
We'll say goodbye for now. And if you did like this podcast, please like and subscribe as we do them fortnightly. Thank you and goodbye.
You have been listening to RBP's Accountancy on Prescription podcast. Any updates, please visit www.rbp.co.uk or follow us on Twitter at RBPCA. The contents of this podcast is for general guidance and informational purposes only and does not constitute any form of advice. The information provided by RBP is of a general nature. Appropriate and tailored advice or independent research should be obtained before making any decisions. RBP does not accept any liability for any loss or damage which is incurred from you acting or not acting as a result of listening to Accountancy on Prescription.